Now, if I held up this lemon, one of you might walk up to me and say, is that sour? And I'd say, well, it's a lemon, isn't it? I mean, it doesn't have to try to be sour. It's a lemon. It's sour. It's Paul's argument in Galatians 5 when he says, if you walk in the Spirit, these are the fruits that'll be hanging in your trees. If you don't walk in the Spirit, you're going to have other fruit hanging in your trees. Now, sometimes in our culture, we get so fixated on what's hanging in the branches that we don't take time to look at the root. We get so captivated by the fruit of a person's life, we don't take time to look at the root. We get captivated with a particular person's giftedness, and we're drawn to them, when in reality, they're simply connected, they're rooted in the work of Christ. He's the one who's given them that particular gift. So we need to recognize that Paul is using an old word picture to capture his culture. He's speaking of a supernatural work that takes place in a believer's life when they are walking in the Spirit. Now remember last week, we took some time talking about this kind of four-step process that sin brings about in our life. Remember, we talked about how sin moves into our life, and when we do agree with this power of sin, we join our will with the temptation. What happens? Well, immediately, we have this sense of guilt. We have this sense that I've done wrong. I've offended God. I feel guilty. And then what accompanies that guilt? Immediately, fear accompanies guilt. So we move from sin to guilt to fear. And right on the heels of fear, we find shame. And so many of our churches are filled with shameful people. People who just feel overwhelmed with shame. Oh, I wanted to go to church, but my life is so messed up. I'm just ashamed of my life. Well, now, what is that person really saying? That person is really saying that they've sinned. That's not big news. That's not critical news. Like last week, I was on MSNBC, and a news anchor came on and said, breaking news, breaking news. I'm thinking earthquake or a plane has crashed. Britney Spears was released. And I was amazed that commerce continued to take place internationally. That we sinned is not breaking news. What's breaking news for the believer is that sin has deceived us again, and we feel guilty and fearful and ashamed. Now that's breaking news for the believer. It's breaking news because for freedom, we've been set free. Now, I want you to just turn a couple pages back in Galatians with me, if you will. Chapter 3. Strong language here from the apostle, translated fairly kindly into the English. Oh, foolish Galatians, who's bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? You hear what he's saying? What are you thinking? Don't you get it? I thought you got it. You're confused. What's happened? Let me tell you what's happened. When sin uses the law, it produces devastating results in our lives. When sin seizes the law and uses it as a weapon against us, do you know what sin does with the law? It moves us to feeling guilty. It moves us to feeling fearful and It moves us. It moves us to shame. You see, sin seizes the law and seeks to use it against people in general and against believers in particular. And sin will seek to beat us up. Sin's use of the law leads to death. But now I want you to think about the Spirit's use of the law. How does the Spirit of God use the law? Think about it this way. The Spirit of God uses the law to arouse, to expose, and to condemn sin. The Spirit of God uses the law to arouse, to expose, and to condemn sin. Now, return your eyes to the text here in Galatians chapter 5. Let's look at verse 21. He says, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, look at verse 19. The works of the flesh. Do you see what the sinful flesh does? The sinful flesh is actually a power that will seize the law and use it against us. Now, look at verse 24. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified what? The flesh with its passions and desires. So we have the flesh, which is the sinful power that resides within every person who's been born after Adam and Eve except for Jesus Christ. And then we have the Spirit who lives within believers. I want you to recognize something. Many of us are drawn to Galatians 5, and we have a to-don't list and a to-do list. Look at the to-don't list. Verse 19, put this on your refrigerator. Okay, I'm not gonna. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies. And he stops, but he says, and things like these. You see what he's doing? He's describing the fruit in the trees of a person who's under the power of sin. Sin has taken the law and has somehow used that as an opportunity to overwhelm them. And they basically give up. They're like, I just can't do it. I can't do it. I'm just going to live my life for this world. But then as we become awakened and the Spirit's moving in our life, we're tempted to say, okay, that's my to-don't list. I got it. That's pretty good. I'm not going to do this stuff. What I am going to do is this other stuff because I want to look like this other stuff. And so what do? We go to verse 22. Some of us have even memorized it. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, right? Work our way through. We want that on our refrigerator magnet. That's what we really want. I'm going to put that in the mirror so every morning when I shave, I could say, today I'm going to be joyful. I don't care what happens, I'm going to be joyful. We turn the natural fruit of the Spirit that should grow out of us because of His presence into a to-do list. We legalize the fruit of the Spirit. We turn the fruit of the Spirit into speed limit signs. Warning signs. Oh, dangerous curve. Instead of realizing that the fruit of the Spirit means this is what my life looks like if the Holy Spirit lives in me. Oh. See, those aren't necessarily goals that we have in our life. They're products of the presence of the Holy Spirit. And so you're starting to think maybe in a different level, and all of a sudden you're saying, well, wow, wait a minute. I didn't really understand. You know, sin really has been using the law against me, Pastor Tim. I mean, he's been whooping me. I want the Spirit to use the law. Because the Spirit, first of all, exposes my sin. What happens when the Spirit uses the law to expose our sin? What happens? We see it. And we're horrified by it. And what does a believer do? A believer agrees that we've sinned. And we say, I'm wrong. I confess that I'm wrong. And not only is this sin exposed, how was it exposed? It was exposed because it was aroused. Why do you catch your foot on the only little nail that's sticking up out of your wooden deck? It's because it's the nail that's sticking up in the wooden deck. Everything else is nailed down. And so the Spirit of God actually uses the law of God to arouse sin. The Spirit of God suckers sin out. He arouses it and then exposes it so that we, in cooperation with the Holy Spirit, can condemn it. It's like the cheese in the mousetrap. And over time, God allows us to see the heinousness of sin in such a way that we say, that's in me. It's not just out there. It's not just that hideous person who harmed that child. It's in me. And as it's aroused and it's exposed, what do? We condemn it. We cast it to hell. We say we hate sin. And we love God. That's a fruit of the Spirit. That's what the Spirit does in our life. Turn with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 8. We're going to camp here later. But I want you to get a flavor of this. Paul wrote Galatians before he wrote Romans. And I want you to have a feel for this. Listen to the words. I'm going to translate them for you as we go. There is therefore now no... Can you feel it? Can you feel that word? Condemnation. Oh. There's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The very thing that sin tries to bring to us. Sin delivers guilt and then fear and then shame. And what do you feel? Oh, I'm so condemned. I'm not going to church. I don't belong there. I'm such a loser. I've learned to sin in ways that other people never imagined. Sin is a liar. It seizes the law and uses it against us. There is therefore now no condemnation. Yes, we're sinners, but we're not condemned. For those who are in Christ Jesus. Now listen to this. It says for the law of the Spirit of life. I'm going to translate that word law as power or force. Like the law of gravity. You wouldn't be offended if I said the power of gravity or the force of gravity. You would say, I get it. Okay, that's the meaning of this word law in this particular verse. So I'll translate it a bit differently. For the power of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the power of sin and death. Do you see it? Do you see it? The pollution that comes from sin, that power of sin seized by the flesh, if you will. It's the flesh, the sinful nature seizes the law and uses it against us to overwhelm us, to seek to destroy us, to lead us to death. For the power of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the power of sin and death. You see how Paul is going to further develop his thinking? Let me read on. For God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do. This particular law, by the way, is the law of God. You might think of it as the Ten Commandments in just a simple way of summarizing the law. It says, for God has done what the law weakened by the flesh, the sin nature, could not do. You see, the law can reveal sin. It can't remove sin. The law is like a mirror. We look in the mirror and go, oh my goodness, I need to do something with my hair. But the mirror can't fix your hair, all right? The law reveals sin, but it can't remove sin. Weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, not according to the sin nature, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. So what is Paul calling the Galatians to do? He's calling them to remember they've been set free through the work of Christ. Christ has removed the power of sin. Christ has removed the penalty of sin. The pollution of sin in some ways is still with us. You feel it every day. You sense your sin nature. You're like, oh, what? Why is that in me? It drives me crazy. And Paul's addressing the Galatians, and he's saying to them, you have to recognize that if you look at any tree, you're going to see good fruit and bad fruit. If you stand under a fruit tree and you look up in that fruit tree, you're going to say, that's a good-looking lemon, that's a good-looking lemon, that's a good-looking... What happened to that lemon? Whoa. Right? You're going to see that. And what happens in our lives many times is we get overwhelmed. We see the bad stuff. And we forget the good stuff that the Holy Spirit's doing in our lives. What I want to call us to tonight is to cultivate the Spirit's roots and to kill the flesh's roots. I want to get us out of the fruit inspection business that most churches are in and get us into root cultivation. You see, sanctification is a cooperative work between us and the Holy Spirit. Listen to these phrases in Galatians 5, verse 16, walk by the Spirit. Verse 18, led by the Spirit. Verse 25, live by the Spirit. Also verse 25, walk the Spirit. See, it's a cooperative effort. A few years ago, I went skydiving. Yes, I guess that would make me certifiably crazy. Some of you have maybe thought it was possible that I was nuts, but now all doubt is removed. I did have the good sense to have a professional instructor strapped to my back. It's called a tandem jump. And I figured, you know what? This guy has got to want to land this as bad as I want to land it. You know, it's kind of like he's got a vested interest. So we get up in a Cessna, and we kind of climb our way to 13,500 feet. We finally get up there, and I'm focused. I mean, I'm pretty focused, right? And when they scoot you up to the edge of the plane and you look down, and you just look down, you're like, what am I doing, you know? And then he just says, yeah, just lean out. I'm like, yeah, okay, just lean out, you know, easy for you to say. And so I'd lean out. And one of the first things I noticed is that I had a sense of flying, not a sense of falling. The ground was so far away, I couldn't see that I was actually rapidly approaching the ground, which I know I was. I just couldn't see it. Sin's tricky that way. You know, sin makes you think, this is going great. You know what? I'm having a pretty good time. I don't know what that preacher was talking about. Yeah, baby, bring me another, right? You just have that sense of, I'm flying. One of the things I noticed in my cooperative effort with my instructor was that he said, you know, stick your arms and your legs out when we go out of the plane, just kind of like that big spread eagle swan dive kind of move. And as we were going, and we were pretty stable for a while, then he goes, tuck one of your arms in. So I tucked my arm in, and whoo, we started spinning. He goes, put your arm back out. my arm back out, and eventually, you know, we stabilized. Well, that's what happens. The cooperative effort between us and the Spirit is actively involved producing fruit in our lives, but our movements and our actions have a distinct and definitive force in our lives. We make moves, and it makes a difference. God is sovereign, and He causes all things to work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose, who are loved by. We know those verses. That's what this means. God miraculously can work our foolish moves and bring good out of it. He can bring new life out of death. He can bring new growth out of ashes. He can bring hope in Him out of our foolish mistakes. Do you see, what happens is the sanctification process is a process whereby the Holy Spirit causes us to be more and more able to resist sin and to live for righteousness. That's the work of the Spirit. So over time, we actually produce different fruit, and we produce more good fruit and less bad fruit. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's what Paul's talking about. You might think, well, how is it manifest? Look at verse 1 of chapter 6. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual, did you see that word, spiritual? You know, sometimes we look at that word spiritual and we don't think it means what it means. It's like the Princess Bride movie when Inigo Montoya looks at his mentor and says, I do not think that word means what you think it means. Because this man is always saying, inconceivable. Inconceivable. I do not think that word means what you think it means. This word spiritual means that you have learned to live according to the spiritual principles of God's word, even more so than you rely on what you see. So, listen to this. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him by running him down, talking behind his back, kicking him out of church fellowship. Oh, wait a minute. You should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. What's one of the fruit of the Spirit? Gentleness. And then listen to this. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. You see, a spiritual person knows that apart from the power of the Holy Spirit, we're in grave danger constantly. And so a spiritual person will trick you because they look humble, but they're very powerful. They do things like pray. I know you've heard of prayer before. They pray. And they're very powerful. They may not stand up and speak and do all the things we think a spiritually powerful person does. A spiritually powerful person prays and believes God's word. And they handle things with love and joy and peace and patience, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, self-control. Against these things, there's no law. You see, a spiritual person jumps out of the plane with the Holy Spirit, and they're not afraid of hitting the ground. They're not afraid of death because the sin that would produce death in them has been overcome through the perfect sacrifice of Christ. Therefore, we don't fear death. When you're not afraid to die, you're ready to live. You're free. You're free. I don't know if you have 2 months or 2 decades, but you're free. And you begin to live your life on different principles. You're free. For freedom, you were made free through Christ. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's the presence of the Spirit that makes a difference in your life. And you become a spiritual person. If you bit into this lemon, it would be sour. Because lemons are sour. If you're salt, I don't have to try to make you salty. I just want to try to spread you out a little bit. Because God in you is what makes you salty. You know, I was noticing how they harvest these now. When I was a kid and I used to steal them in Phoenix, we'd just climb the tree and grab one before our neighbor noticed us. But now they have these mechanisms. And these mechanisms come in like two big arms, like a James Bond movie. And they kind of slip in under the tree and they clamp on the trunk and they start shaking. Some kind of powerful atomic nuclear something shaking. And the lemons just fall off. It's like, I'm out. Boom. They just start falling off. If they're done, if they're ready, they're ripe. Boom. They just fall off. They drop down. They pick them up. Off you go to Kroger. I want to ask you a question that I've been pondering in my heart. When my life is shaking, what kind of fruit falls out of your branches? I'm not talking like when you're doing great. Woke up, spent an hour in God's word, prayed for a little while on your way to work, you healed a blind person. You know, you're on a roll here, right? I mean hard times. You can't pay your bills. I mean, people think you're paying your bills. You're not really. You're paying your bills on credit cards, but you're not really paying your bills. I mean, I don't know if you figured that out yet. You will soon. What is falling out of your tree when it's shaken? Because what Paul is talking about is the Spirit comes in and he makes a difference in our lives, his presence. The spiritual rebirth, our nature has been changed. And over time, more good fruit is going to fall out of your tree, brothers and sisters. Be patient. Learn to live a spiritual life. We're going to talk more about that in the weeks ahead. But I want you to know that over time, you will grow more and more able to hate and resist sin, and more able to love and pursue righteousness. The Holy Spirit's faithful. That's his job. Let's pray together. Father, we are looking in the limbs of one another's trees, and we need to look at the roots. So, Holy Spirit, would you help us to see the root of our life. Are we, like Paul says in Romans 8, are our minds set on the things of the Spirit or the things of the flesh? Father, I pray for any of my friends here tonight who recognize that their root is firmly embedded in sin. Lord, if they do not know you, I pray that your Spirit would awaken them now and would allow them to see their only hope is you. And just in a very quiet, meaningful way, they would say, I'm out. I'm done. I cannot do it anymore. I've tried. I'm a foolish man, a foolish woman. I can't do it. I cannot be righteous enough for you. I'm trying to keep the law and I'm not making it. I pray they would have the peace of that admission and the freedom now in the power of the Spirit to cast their lives on the cross and say, "Save me, Jesus." There's therefore now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. For the power of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the power of sin and death. And Lord, for those of us that when we gaze up in our tree and we see as much bad fruit as good, I pray, oh God, you would root our minds in your word, and accompanied by the Spirit, you would produce more good fruit. Lord, help us not to give up, to never give up, to never give up, to never give up. Help us in the power of your Spirit to live lives of freedom. I pray the law would be used by the Spirit to arouse our sin, to expose our sin, and then to condemn our sin to hell because of the work of Christ. We praise you, Lord, and we love you for doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. We make our prayer in your beautiful name, Jesus, and all God's people said, amen.